King Charles III and Queen Camilla rolled out the red carpet for President Donald Trump, who is in Britain on his second state visit. The king heralded the two nations' special relationship. The pomp came complete with gilded carriages. Across the Atlantic, meanwhile, Mexico's President Claudia Sheinbaum Pardo is preparing to host Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney in a state visit of her own today. The pageantry on both sides of the Atlantic points to different responses to a global order in flux. Some seek to shore up traditional alliances with the United States. But as Washington moves in new directions, other countries, like Canada and Mexico, are finding new opportunities to work together. It's Thursday, September 18th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning. I'm Krista Case Bryant. First, our curation of news briefs from staff writers and wire services. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs. Alexei Navalny's widow said lab tests show her husband was poisoned. The popular opposition leader died last year in a Russian prison in the Arctic Circle. Yulia Navalnaya demanded that the laboratories release their findings to the public. The Kremlin has dismissed Ms. Navalnaya's repeated accusations that Russia killed her husband. The European Union announced its toughest plan yet to pressure Israel to end the war in Gaza. The proposal includes increasing tariffs on some Israeli goods and imposing sanctions against 10 Hamas leaders, Israeli settlers, and two members of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's cabinet. Israel denies that there is starvation in Gaza and says it allows in enough humanitarian aid. Also, the ozone layer continues to heal, according to the latest World Meteorological Organization report. The Montreal Protocol, finalized in 1987, helped phase out more than 99% of the substances depleting the ozone layer, used in items from refrigerators to hairspray. The planet's protective shield is now on course to bounce back to 1980s levels by mid-century. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com for our latest news. The Federal Reserve cut its benchmark rate by a quarter point today. Its mission, outlined by Congress, is to spur job growth while keeping inflation under control. Its objectives have grown trickier this year amid political pressure from the White House, a slowing job market, and still high inflation. Laurent Belsey reports for The Monitor. Canada and Mexico left their relationship untended in favor of ties with the United States for decades. But as the Trump administration throws diplomatic elbows, America's two neighbors see a chance to renew connections with each other. Whitney Ulick and Sarah Miller-Yana report from Mexico City and Toronto for The Monitor. In Israel, the shared burden of military service in the People's Army is a consensus value, and an exemption granted the ultra-Orthodox has long rankled. Amid the mounting costs of war in Gaza, moves to codify the exemption have fanned resentments. Dina Kraft reports from Tel Aviv, Israel, for The Monitor. California Governor Gavin Newsom's direct challenges to President Donald Trump on immigration enforcement and redistricting, coupled with a shift to a sharper tone on social media, position him as a test case for Democratic presidential candidates seeking the mix of message and policy that could win their party's nomination. Allie Martin reports for The Monitor. Amelia Earhart has drawn the public's fascination for almost a century. Her private life, however, is less well known than her aviation exploits. She married a scion of the G.P. Putnam Sons publishing company, who sent her on lecture tours and hired ghostwriters to produce articles in her name. Their relationship was a complex mix of love, tension, and mutual ambition, according to author Lori Gwen Shapiro. To read our Monitor contributor Barbara Spindell's review of The Aviator and the Showman, Amelia Earhart, George Putnam, and the marriage that made an American icon, visit csmonitor.com. Now, commentary from the Monitor's editorial board on the simple solutions to hate speech. Hate speech, or rather, what to do about it, is the big topic in America after last week's killing of conservative activist Charlie Kirk in Utah. The Trump administration, for example, blames left-wing rhetoric against Mr. Kirk's views for driving the accused gunman, Tyler Robinson, to act, as if such verbal attacks will help solve the problem of political violence. At one point, U.S. Attorney General Pam Bondi even threatened to absolutely target anyone engaging in hate speech. Such government threats to a basic right like free speech are an echo of what Mr. Robinson himself revealed as his motive. "I had enough of Mr. Kirk's alleged hatred," he wrote in a message to his roommate after the killing. "Some hate can't be negotiated out." Cooler heads in the United States are now asking if ending political violence means helping Americans find better ways to negotiate with hate speech peacefully. A few ideas came Tuesday in a speech by Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro, a Democrat and himself a survivor of an arson attack at his official residence last April. He told of two gatherings at his home soon after the political attack that might bring light to the dark cycle of violence. One was of five former governors of the state, both Republican and Democrat, who joined him in affirming the civic values that drive out hate. "We need to create more opportunities for peaceful and respectful dialogue," Mr. Shapiro said. The other gathering, over a meal of gratitude, was with the firefighters who responded to the attack. A Christian chaplain from one fire department gave the governor, who is Jewish, a handwritten prayer from Numbers 6, 24 to 26. "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace." The governor said the prayer is one of comfort, healing, and hope, directed at individual thought. The late chief rabbi of Britain, Jonathan Sacks, wrote that this prayer is also about the unconditional love of God. "To make peace in the world, we must be at peace with ourselves. To be at peace with ourselves, we must know that we are unconditionally valued. The grace of God," he added, "is a quality which sees the best in others and seeks the best for others. It is a combination of gentleness and generosity." "To make sure that America is stronger than hate," said the governor, "starts with each of us." And, he might have added, "a simple blessing given by God more than 25 centuries ago can help end today's political violence." The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how Jesus showed us that life is so much more than it appears to be. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Mackenzie Farkas, Victoria Hoffman, and Tim Malone.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, USA. Copyright 2025.